When ice melts, a phase transition occurs. The ice becomes water. Now, there's a very interesting parallel here for us to think about, a lesson that'll help us to understand our perfect pitch ear training. The ice is sitting there, frozen, hard, and its temperature is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or 0 degrees Celsius. Then the ice absorbs heat. And as it absorbs the heat, it reaches a point where it begins to melt. Now here's the interesting point. When the ice has fully melted, do you know that the water temperature is still 32 degrees? The ice was 32 degrees, and then it's absorbed heat, and then the water ends up still being 32 degrees. It's the same temperature, just a phase shift has occurred. The hard ice has changed to a different character. It's now a liquid flowing water, but the temperature is still the same. Isn't that an interesting fact? The ice is sitting there at 32 degrees, but it has to absorb a certain amount of heat to change to a different state, and it's still 32 degrees. So the difference between the ice and the water is a certain threshold of heat has to be absorbed into the ice before the shift will happen. It's the same with our ears. If our ears are closed, frozen, unable to fully hear and discriminate the pitch colors, then we have to melt the blocks in our perception. And how do we melt these blocks? It takes a certain amount of listening. That's the secret. You just keep listening, listening, and at first you don't notice any big change. It's like the ice. The ice absorbs heat and absorbs more heat, but at first there's no change. But then a critical threshold is reached. You add enough heat and the ice melts. A phase transition occurs. And with the ear, once you've listened enough, a phase shift occurs. The pitch colors begin to dawn more clearly in your awareness, and then you can identify the tones, and then you've gained perfect pitch. I'll give you another example about phase transitions. You know how a laser works? It's a very complicated thing, but basically the laser is a light that moves all in one direction in one narrow laser beam. Everyone has seen a laser, and you can see how the light is channeled in one direction, in one super beam. Now, ordinary light is not like laser light. Ordinary light goes in all directions. It's not coherent. When you turn on a lamp at home, the light shines all around the room. It doesn't choose any particular direction, does it? The laser shines in one direction, powerfully. Now here's the interesting thing. When physicists found out how to make lasers, they discovered a really cool phenomenon. If you have the right conditions and you get just 1% of your light to move in one particular direction, then all of a sudden, voila, the other 99% of the light jumps into the same direction. A phase shift occurs, and all of a sudden you have wave coherence. You have a powerful laser beam all in one direction. Again, it's the same with our ears. It's not that we learn one particular tone by ear, and then we learn another tone. We don't just learn a C first, and then later learn a C sharp. We're studying tones in a particular sequence, yes, but this doesn't mean that we fully mastered all the tones we're studying. Here's what happens. When the conditions are right and you've had a certain amount of listening, you get to a certain threshold. Then all of a sudden you find that you can identify a particular tone, maybe this C for example. But when this happens, when you find you can identify one tone, all of a sudden you also find that you're able to identify all the tones. It happens pretty much all at the same time. This is the point. A phase shift occurs. So now with our phase two practices, we're going to be getting to this phase shift. You'll get to this point sooner or later. You'll hear it for yourself. Our experience is muddy at first. So we have to listen some more in so many ways, from so many angles. And then suddenly, almost suddenly, it's not like a lightning bolt or anything, but the time comes when this muddy perception begins to crystallize into a clear perception, which we call perfect pitch. So I'm going to repeat something that I've already told you before, but now we really have to keep this point in mind as we progress all during our phase two. As we continue to work our tones, we keep listening for color, even when you know the tone by relative pitch. Now, what does this mean, listen for color? If you can't fully hear the color clearly, then how do you know what to listen for? After all, I haven't really fully described all the tones clearly for you, have I? So, how do you know what to listen for? Well, we just relax, that's all. Don't try to label the tones anymore. Let's not call the F sharp the twangy one, and let's not call the E flat the mellow one. That was to help you in the beginning. And it is true, F sharp is twangy, and E flat is mellow. But let's not get stuck there. Now we have to move on. When I say listen for color, I mean be with the tone. Let it sink deep into you. Soak in the sound of that pitch. Adopt that sound into your ear. Become friends with that tone. Now, some of you are thinking, what does all that mean? Now I'm really confused. How do I hear the colors and how do I become friends with the tones? What does all that mean? Again, just relax and continue the exercises. Let your relative pitch be there. Latch on to relative pitch whenever you need to, but at the same time, hear the tone as if you're hearing it separately, all by itself. You'll hear the tone E, and you'll know it's E because of the relationship with C. That's great. But we pause, and we also hear the E itself. Let the feeling of the C be there. We never try to get rid of the feeling of the C, but also hear the E as if you're listening only to the E. You see what I mean? If you don't get what I'm saying, don't worry. Just forget it. It's fine. Just continue the exercises step by step. Just keep listening, keep listening. And as you go through the exercises, you'll automatically begin to have these experiences, whether you understand what I'm saying or not. Everything is already programmed into the sequence of these drills that you'll be doing. So continue your practices and remember to enjoy yourself all along the way. So now we'll get to our first phase two practices for solo keyboards. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a C major chord, C, E, G, C. We play the chord. Then we play any black tone. F sharp, we identify it. Then we play the chord. Any black tone. A flat. Chord. Any black tone. C sharp. This is the way we practice. Simple? It's very simple. We'll pass one verification round of 20. That's your first drill. Then we're going to do something a little different. Using the white tones only, we'll play four tones, G, A, B, D, F sharp. The fifth tone is going to be a black tone. We'll play four white tones and then one black tone. Then we go back to the four white tones, A, B, D, E, B flat. Like this, four white tones, one black tone. Now here's a way that you can count this drill to make it easy for you. We can count on our fingers. Since we have four white tones and one black tone, you can count on your fingers, starting with your pinky, those are your white tones, and then when you get to your thumb, that becomes the black tone. So let's just do this a second. My left hand is sitting in my lap. I'm going to be playing tones with my right hand. So I first count with my pinky on the left hand. That means I just kind of move my pinky a little so I know that I'm on the pinky. And then I reach out with my right hand and play a tone. C. Then I move my fourth finger in my left hand to count it. Reach out with my right hand. F. Then I count with my third finger on my left hand. Reach out. G. Then my index finger on my left hand. And then I reach out with my right hand, play any white tone. B. And now I've come to my thumb on my left hand, so I have to play a black tone. A flat. Of course, if we make a mistake, then we have to correct the error. But if you get all five correct, that is one round correct with our black and white drill. That's what we can call this drill, our black and white drill. When you get a round correct, then you can reach up, take one of your marbles, and count it. That is one round correct. You have to do 10 rounds correct to make a verification round. Okay, this is a little different now. It's 10 rounds of five tones that makes one verification round. And you must complete three verification rounds in order to pass this drill. Three verification rounds of 10 rounds of five tones. Is that clear? Good. Now, don't worry if you hit B flat more often than all the other tones, or if you're hitting some other tone, E flat, more often. That's fine. All the tones don't have to be represented equally. You'll find that sometimes your fingers, when you're reaching out to your black tones, they tend to go to the same tone a lot. That's perfectly all right. Take your time with this drill. We don't expect you to finish this drill in one sitting. This is a whole new phase we're on to now. And here's another drill I'd like solo keyboardists to do. We're going to have our white harmonic fours. We reach out, play any four white tones. Listen carefully. Unlock the sound by ear. And sing the tones from the bottom up. La, 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 la. Listen very attentively to the tones. Don't rush on this one. Take all your time now that you're dealing with four tones at once. This is a wonderful challenge for your ear. And be sure to listen for octaves. Maybe I've got one like this. Listen carefully. This is C, E, B, C. So we have two C's. These C's may throw you at first, but you'll get to be able to hear them. Just work the ear. And you can play close chords as well as wide chords. You know what to do. And when you've done a singing version of this, unlocking and singing, then do a pitch identification drill with all four tones. So you're going to be doing a singing drill and an identification drill with our fours. And pass one verification round for both the singing part and the identification drill. So those are your drills for solo keyboards for our first phase two techniques. All right, now for our guitar family of players, we have three drills for this session. Here they are. Your first is to play your A major chord, any tone, G, and then another tone, B flat, then your A major chord. This is the way we're going to do it now. A major chord, tone, tone, then A major chord. We're just going to do two tones in a row, each time coming back to our A major chord. It's a simple change, past two verification rounds. That is your first drill. Then our second drill is, we'll take our A string, then any tone, E flat, A string, any tone, A flat, A string, any tone, B, D string, any tone, F, D string, any tone, C, D string, any tone, E. So it's A string three times, then any tone, D string three times, any tone. That is your second drill. And then we do the third drill. This is where it starts to get a little interesting now. A string, any tone, E flat. A string, any tone, F. A string, any tone, C. Any tone, E flat, D string. Any tone, B, D string. Any tone, F, D string. Any tone, F sharp. Any tone, C sharp, A string. Okay, did you get that subtle change there? I'll say it so you can write this down. A string, any tone, A string, any tone, A string, any tone. Any tone, D string. Any tone, D string. Any tone, D string. Any tone, any tone. And then you repeat it all over again. A string, any tone, A string, any tone, just like that. It continues, it just repeats there again. You'll see the pattern. We'll call this our alternating A string, D string drill. You don't have to pass any particular verification round, otherwise it's too hard to keep track of the whole thing, how many rounds to pass and all that. Just keep working with this drill until you know that you've mastered it. You yourself will know when you're ready to move on. So work with that. I don't need to say much about it. You will hear for yourself how the home basses will keep shifting on you. Remember what we said? Phase two, we're going to be breaking down the feeling of home bass so that the perfect pitch can crystallize. And this is our first step towards that goal. Now, for everybody, for our ear training meditation practice, you can use the full C major scale, as we have been, and we'll add the tone A flat and continue working. This will be the tone F natural for the guitarists. You know why I call this natural? Why did I say F natural, guitarists? Tell me why. It's because we were using the A major scale, and the A major scale has an F sharp. So if we're now going to use F, it's nice to say F natural to distinguish it from the F sharp. And our team players will also use these same tones. Now we're just using the C major scale with the A flat added. We won't be using all the rest of the black tones we studied in session 12. You can work single tones, double tones, triple tones. You know what to do. Warning, because you have a partner, you're never going to know when that black tone is going to creep in. So listen very carefully for your A flat. This is a tone that's outside of our normal C major scale. And as we continue to add the outside foreign tones, you're going to find that the feeling of C major home bass is going to break down. This is very good. As a matter of fact, now that we have this A flat, we have something interesting here. We're able to make a diminished seventh chord. B, D, F, A flat, or for the guitarists, G sharp, B, D, F natural. We're not going to talk about diminished seventh chords on this course. That's a relative pitch consideration, but the point is this. These four tones are equally spaced, and we're going to be able to do an interesting drill with this a little later. But for right now, we'll just incorporate our A flat tone, and we'll do two verification rounds for our harmonic doubles and triples, just as before, and single verification rounds for the others. Remember to listen for color. Don't try to feel how high or low a pitch is. You may feel at first you're imagining color. Fine, let your imagination go wild. Just listen for color and let the relationships be sitting there by your side at the same time as well.
Question answer session.
I've been practicing for a couple of months now, and I'd like to practice longer each session so that I finish up faster.
All right, for those of you who have been practicing a while, if you want to practice longer, it would be all right. We generally don't like to practice for longer than the recommended time because, of course, we don't want to tire our ear. The way to have the ear become cultured is gradually. But if you would like, you could do two sessions a day, one in the morning and then one in the afternoon or the evening. This is possible. If you have the time to do that, it will definitely help. The important thing is that you do at least one a day. This is very important. Don't do two one day because you're going to make up for what you're not going to do the next day, because we have to maintain this habit of listening deeply on a daily basis. It's better to do one a day than it is to do more than one a day and then do it irregularly. See, it's like growing a plant. You plant that seed and it just grows up a little bit every day. Every day. And when all of a sudden you see that it's going to blossom, you can't get all excited and then just start flooding it with water and flooding it with light because you could just ruin the whole thing. And in the same way, if we're going to practice a little bit longer every day, we have to recognize we do not want to tire the ear. The ear can only grow so much a day, even if you do two sessions a day. You cannot force the ear to grow. Ear training is not a computerized program. It's not a recipe where we mix so much of this and so much of this and it comes out like this. It's an art. And an art means that there's a skill involved in ear training. So very often you may know what your own ear needs, and then you can adapt the exercises in those kind of ways to suit what your ear needs.